It's the Nerdcast, Season 5, Episode 9.
This is Austin St. John, Jason, the original Red Ranger, and you are listening to the Nerdcast.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Nerdcast. We have Adam, Aaron, Tyler, and myself here.
Oh, yeah, son.
Everybody's in attendance. Well, all four of us, at least. And the rest of y'all can join us. I don't know. I've looked at some audio, but that's a whole other conversation. Some audio tools to get more people in here. But anyways, lack of exciting news to start with right before. We're recording early this week because a few of us are heading to Dragon Con. So we're going to miss probably... Aaron is going as well, yes.
I get to go.
So anyways... lack of probably this week's big news will be in this podcast, but the one thing that did happen right before we started recording was the announcement of the passing of Wes Craven. So Adam, being our horror buff.
You almost called Adam a whore.
Well, you know.
I mean, I'm sorry to ruin the sad news, but.
That's, you know, here or there. Yeah. No, I mean, it's. So we, I mean, celebrities passing and it affects us all in different ways. And you never know really what's going to happen in. You know, your reaction to it until it does happen. And this one, you know, got me a little more than I was expecting, I guess. And then I kind of stopped to think about why that was. And legitimately, he impacted 7 or 8 years of my life when it came to me being completely terrified of Freddy Krueger from The Nightmare on Elm Street. I saw it when I was 5. And, you know, it was really pretty much until I was just about 13 that I couldn't be around if you mentioned it. If I saw a preview for like even the edited version that was going to be on, you know, TBS or something like that, I'd have nightmares for like a week. And so that like legitimately really shaped my late childhood, early adolescence, and then absolutely fell in love with horror movies after that. Kind of one, you know, something clicked, and Nightmare on Elm Street still my favorite horror movie. And just his ability to kind of set scenes and come up with these really, really creepy ideas. Yeah, no, it's sad. It's real sad. And then Scream and all the other stuff he did, obviously. But for me, it was Nightmare on Elm Street, and it actually changed my life. I don't know. I don't say that too often about movies, but that one did for sure.
Well, I know as a child, People Under the Stairs, I didn't do it very well. I didn't get scared by a lot of movies. For those of y'all, especially in this group, but for the listeners that don't know, my father was a really, I don't know if he did it on purpose to help with us kids or if he just was that type of guy, which the second seems to be probably most likely, but he was the type of guy you watched a horror movie with and he would laugh and point out how fake this looked and how terrible this was. So not a lot of horror movies scared me, at least the ones I saw at that age, you know, so many, and of course TV edited. But I vividly remember going to a friend's house and watching People Under the Stairs, and well, I don't know if I went into a basement for at least a couple of years after that. That was a pretty bad one.
So, that's a reasonable reaction to that movie, I think.
And then the one we were talking about before we got this thing started, of course, Swamp Thing. I don't know if you can even throw the word in guilty in front of it, but a guilty pleasure of all of ours. I love that movie. I don't know.
He's talking about, like, obviously Freddy Krueger. Like, I was never a horror movie person. Horror movies really have never been my thing. But I've seen, for him, the movies that that I remember, like, having an effect on me. Swamp Thing is one of them. And then the other one, The People Under the Stairs, because I remember the same thing. We rented it for like a sleepover at my friend Brad's house, and a bunch of us were over there. And it's you go back and watch it, it's terrible and it's cheesy and it's weird. But as a kid, like it messed me up bad. But Swamp Thing, it's weird. And I can't remember exactly why they were doing it. But there was a weekend, I was a kid, I was probably early teens maybe, staying the weekend at my grandparents' house and didn't really have anything to do, turned on the TV, and for some reason, back when they used to do this sort of thing, USA was running a marathon all day where they showed all the Swamp Thing movies and every single episode of the Swamp Thing TV show all day long, and I literally just sat in front of the TV and nice. Watched.
They did that often. They did that often.
They used to do it with a lot of different shows and stuff like that. I remember when like those old show marathons used to be a big thing. And then the only other one that I really remember that he had something to do with, and it wasn't really his, is when they redid, they brought back the Twilight Zone in the late 80s, and he directed quite a few episodes of that, and I loved the Twilight Zone when I was a kid. Like, I didn't get into the older ones until later, but those 80s ones, and then obviously the 80s movie I saw. And I don't know, I'm trying to think other stuff that he did, because like I said, I was never really... The new Nightmare is probably the first one I really remember watching, like the reboot weird one. And then New Nightmare. Scream, obviously, was big. I liked it's terrible, but I remember really liking Vampire in Brooklyn, the Eddie Murphy one. That one's kind of fantastic. Fantastically bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. And I think that's where a lot of his movies ended up. They like were either like, you know, his first major studio feature film with Last House on the Left that it's like, holy crap. And then Nightmare on Elm Street, again, something totally different. And People Under the Stairs, but they either went like really, really good, or it seemed to go almost like so bad it's good. Like, I still want to watch this movie because it's going to be very bizarre. But yeah, I think Scream reintroduced, like re-brought back and showed that horror could be a big thing again. Because it seemed to go away there in the early 90s. And then when Scream came on, it was like, oh gosh, like not only can horror movies be good again, but they can also make a ton of money, which is obviously what the studios are most concerned about. And so then we started, you know, the mid to late 90s, you got a ton of horror movies, or even the new gore horror, whatever you want to call, like Saw and stuff like that. I don't think those movies come around unless Spring or Scream really kind of knocks that door back down.
Well, Wes Craven was really good at what he did, that's for sure. Not being a horror fan, you can still say that. And I think that goes back to, you know, People Under the Stairs. Of course, it didn't hold up. But as a kid, you know, he took the supernatural elements out of that one. And so it made it kind of that more realistic, like, oh my gosh, this could be at my neighbor's house. I don't know, you know, like, but even with the supernatural elements, he made it really spooky. And whether it was old enough to where, when, like you said, when you revisit, it's cheesy, or it was that time where you saw the kind of the resurgence in the 90s, like you're pointing out, he knew how to cater to that specific audience. Even Swamp Thing, which was campy, which was, you know, like the way it was supposed to be. And you could still get that. You still had that kind of that horror feel to his version of Swamp Thing, you know, that Wes Craven feel to it. At the same time, it was very different than these other movies we're talking about. So I think that speaks to him as a filmmaker for sure. You're muted, Tyler.
It happens. He did a lot of, I mean, what's, I'm trying to think of other things. He showed up a lot of, his cameos were always fun, whether it was his own jut work or his or other things he showed up in was always fun. And I'm trying to think, there was something, oh, he did the, I don't know if anyone ever seen it, the collection of vignettes, the Paris Je T'aime. He did the one with the vampire in it. And I really, that's one of my favorite little vignettes in that like film.
Oh yeah. No. And he did, I think a lot of people didn't like it, but he did, Red Eye with Rachel McAdams and Cillian Murphy. And I liked the movie, and I may not really like Cillian Murphy, so.
I never saw it. I didn't realize he did that one, though.
You don't like Cillian Murphy? What the hell's wrong with you?
Who said they didn't like him?
Adam just did.
No, I said no, I really do like
him. Oh, it sounded like you said I don't really like Cillian Murphy.
No.
No, I do really like Cillian.
And that was right after he did The Scarecrow also, so he was like right at that level of, this is the right role for him. I remember that movie. It was marketed well. I never saw it. Like I said, not a big horror person. I didn't realize, though, that was Wes Craven. So, obviously, I don't know, Aaron, if you have, you're not a big horror fan, but if you have anything to chime in terms of your favorites, I think Swamp Thing, obviously mine.
You guys know I don't really watch the scary movies, but I just think it's so funny that Iggy was terrified of People Under the Stairs, and that was one of the few scary movies that I watched as a kid that I didn't think was scary, and I thought it was kind of silly and cool. But I think Wes Craven just has that really cool watchability where it's just enjoyable. I mean, obviously Nightmare on Elm Street was something I would never enjoy because that's just way too scary. But maybe that's because I was too young.
Well, and for all you non-horror fans out there, you can think Wes Craven gave this kid who nobody had ever heard of his first role in a major motion picture. I think he ended up doing a few other things afterwards, but yeah, so Johnny Depp got his acting career in Nightmare on Elm Street. So you watch the opening credits for Nightmare on Elm Street, and it gets all the way to the end, and you're like, I know Johnny Depp's in this movie. So, and introducing Johnny Depp. It's like, holy crap. Okay. So there you go. So everybody who likes Pirates of the Caribbean, you should thank Wes Craven because, you know, you needed Johnny Depp in your life.
I think my favorite Wes Craven fact, though, and it's, it speaks to like how horror is thought of when it comes to like cinema. But the only movie he ever directed that garnered any Academy Award nominations, you know which one it was? Music of the Heart, the Meryl Streep, Angela Bassett one. it's the only movie he ever made that wasn't basically a horror genre movie, but or thriller. And Meryl Streep and I think one of the songs from it got Academy Award nominations for it. And I still think to this day that you tell people that, oh, you know that movie with Meryl Streep and Gloria Estefan and Angela Bassett? Yeah, Wes Craven directed that.
That's a good one. That is a fun tidbit for sure.
Award-nominated movie. But also passing to, you know, Sunday was Oliver Sacks. We were talking about that a little bit before this got started. So not as well-known, obviously, but we were talking, Tyler being the book guy, obviously knew him a little bit more, but the rest of us might have heard his name more recently as he was breaking ground in cancer, you know, cancer research, I guess the way you could put it, but really the big thing that I had seen mostly from him, at least in the past year to 2 years, was he was diagnosed with cancer. And being a neurologist, he basically started documenting himself, studying himself and, you know, the deterioration and everything. So, but he also wrote some science fiction. And then the one thing Tyler pointed out too was The Awakening with Robert De Niro and was it Robin Williams, right?
Robin Williams, yeah. Awakenings, yeah.
I like that movie a lot, actually.
Robin Williams is amazing in that movie.
For sure, for sure. So another one there. So hopefully, you know, hopefully something he did in studying himself for the past couple of years will help in the progress of cancer research. But yeah, two men that were well known for what they did passing away, so... sad indeed.
Yeah, he's got, if you're ever interested in, you know, weird neurology diagnoses or weird or just interesting things, the elements, he was passionate about the elements. I was one of the reasons I thought about him recently because he was on an episode of Radiolab recently where they were prepping for this new episode that just came out about elements that they had interviewed him. And he has this box in his apartment with a sample of every single element on the periodic table and was talking about them. And he wrote a book called Uncle Tungsten about them. But the man who mistook his wife for a hat and other clinical tales and then An Anthropologist on Mars are two just amazing books about interesting clinical tales and neurological disorders and stuff like that. They're super fun. And about the cancer one, what was it, back in February, like not long after he was diagnosed, he wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times called My Own Life that is really poignant and fascinating if you get a chance to read it.
So in other news, box office weekend closed. And of course, to us, that's a bigger deal than even normal because of our fantasy movie league. Again, I've mentioned it a few times. We're recording earlier, so we don't have exact numbers. So Tyler can't officially gloat yet. But when you're looking at kind of the estimates, Anne trumped Adam and I again. But Tyler probably got us again this time. So Tyler, in the last week of preseason, getting a little redemption there. Adam, our mistake was definitely going with Zac Efron there in We Are Your Friends as that $1.8 million for the weekend. Let me say that again, because that wasn't the wrong number. That was $1.8 million.
Ouch. Yeah, no, I thought for sure that guy puts butts in seats, man. I figured we had it, but
did anybody really know about this movie though? Like, especially the people that would go see a movie just for Zac Efron, you know, that might be the question.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah.
You guys just didn't make a mistake. No matter what happens, people will go and see those Kendrick Brothers movies. Like, people eat them up. It's crazy. Like, no matter, like, it's currently sitting at 18% on Rotten Tomatoes, and up until the end of Saturday was beating Straight Outta Compton.
Well, like, Straight Outta Compton edged it out for the weekend and did
win. Yeah, but not by much. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, between, let's see, War Room was obviously the new one. What was the one? The Fireproof. This is their fourth or fifth movie, and they make, for the amount of budget, the amount of marketing that they put into them, they make obscene amounts of money for what gets put into them. I mean, you go see them, the production values are, you know, not what you'd expect. And the stories and plots, if you can call them that, are a little, I don't know. They're very much directed at a very specific audience, and they succeed tremendously.
So we do have a few players in there. Erin hasn't joined the league. We'll have to pressure her some more and a few other of the Project Nerd staff so we can talk about it on the future podcast, because starting next weekend, the fall season starts. So running through the end of the year.
Time to get serious, kids. Yeah. Time to get serious.
Running up till, I think, December, because then it's they call it the award season, I think, like December through March or something like that. So running for the next few months, though, will be our real season, and that's when the real gloating rights. We may have to come up with a trophy idea. We may have to that entice some more of our Project Nerd staff members to join in on the fun.
I'm pretty sure you just picked up a pretty nice toy this weekend that pretty you've been much. Gloating, and so that would do it. I would play very hard
not,
for that.
I'm not shipping that, first of all. That's
when I win, you can just send me that Millennium Falcon. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was at Goodwill this weekend, and we had a few good finds. So I hit up Goodwill right before Dragon Con. So everybody we know, of course, I think actually 90% of my friends list is working on last minute costumes. So I got to participate in some of that fun and just roaming through some of the aisles, and sitting on top of a desk that was also for sale was a Millennium Falcon toy. And it was the one, and I looked it up, and it's from 1999. It's a $200 toy that is like the size. Basically, it wouldn't fit in the cart. It was the size of the grocery cart that they have at Goodwill. It is, I don't know. It's wide. It is a good 2 feet wide, I think, by almost, 4+ feet long. It's ridiculous, and it is awesome. So the one thing you guys didn't see from the pictures, because I shared pictures with these guys, is the lights and all the sounds still work on it. So the whole back, you hit a certain button.
Whatever.
The whole back lights up blue. When you hit a button on the side, the door drops, like with hydraulics too, so it goes slowly. And then the lights next to it glow, like, and everything. It's awesome. And you can hit any other buttons that you do to move around the turrets. It makes like shooting noises as they move and everything. So really cool.
If you're not going to offer that up for the trophy, then just stop. Just stop, stop, stop.
I don't know how I got so lucky with that. Like, I've never found anything like that. And sure enough, I bought it, cleaned it up, and it looks awesome. I don't know where to put it though, because it is literally like, it's like, do you set it on the whole coffee table? Do you set it on it? Like, any table that I'm going to set it on, it's going to take up the whole table, and it won't fit on a bookshelf or anything.
I can give it its whole own room. Just bring it to Papa. Let me put it in its own room. I'll take pictures. You'll be okay.
You're going to have to come get it. And then when you come to get it, then we'll talk about the maybe of it. So I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, that was a great find. But no, we'll figure out something else for the trophy for the Fantasy Movie League. So starting next week, Tyler's going down. I'm taking this. What do we have next week at the box office anyways? Anything big for Labor Day?
The Transporter reboot is coming out. The adaptation of that, what's the hiking movie, the Bill Bryson movie, a book, A Walk in the Woods with Nick Nolte and Redford, and then the Alice Eve, Chris Evans romantic comedy, or is it a romantic comedy? Before We Go. I think those are the big ones. But I think Before We Go is one of those ones that's already out on VOD. It's already been on video on demand. Like, I know a lot of people, it was one of those ones that went digitally released first. So, and apparently on video on demand, it did really well. So maybe that will drive people to the theaters to see it. I don't think the release for it is going to be very big. So mostly just,
well, a lot of theaters, usually when they go to VOD, a lot of theaters will pass on putting those into too many screens because they're worried it's going to end. Their numbers are already impacted anyways. So,
yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's really between Transporter, Walk in the Woods, and then all the stuff from before, Straight Outta Compton's still doing fairly strong. Obviously, The War Room will probably still do some numbers.
3 weeks in a row, though, for Straight Outta Compton. It's a pretty solid run.
And to be fair, like, you got to give it up for the studio on that one, because it could not have come out at a better time. Like, it came out against a little bit of competition and has had no competition since. So,
well, it came out against a little competition, but not overlapping competition. Like, people that are going to go see Straight Outta Compton weren't going to see
Man versus Uncle, or Man from Uncle, or Mission Impossible.
Right. Yeah. I don't really think that, you know, they're going for a different audience and did really, really well with that.
No, I think Man from Uncle suffered from Mission Impossible because that continued to be successful up through this weekend and even not a terrible weekend this weekend, but nothing what it had been doing. Like you said, Tyler, though, perfect placement for its release. Additionally, though, this is just powering more of that. We talked about Universal hitting $2 billion with its opening weekend 3 weekends ago for the studio as a whole. And it's just adding to it right now. It's just staying at number one.
And then next week we get the week after we'll get The Visit, the new Shyamalan movie. And then what else comes out that week? A lot of stuff. I really want to see Sleeping with Other. I mean, I want to a lot of just small movies that like you've seen trailers for, but like The Perfect Guy, the 90 Minutes in Heaven, Coming Home, Wolf Totem. The only one of the ones that's coming out that week, other than The Visit, that I'm really heard about or kind of want to see is Sleeping with Other People, the one with Alison Brie and Jason Sudeikis. I think that one looks funny.
Yeah, Sudeikis is a pretty funny guy. Aaron, are you going to jump in on this fantasy movie league?
Definitely not, because I don't want to just get clobbered by you guys.
What if, you know, so if the expectations, if they're low for you and yourself, why wouldn't you join? Because then when you, if you win a week, you have a whole podcast to brag about it.
It takes so much time because you guys.
It doesn't take. It takes me like 2 minutes to set up.
Don't even try and bait me with that. You know what?
It takes literally 5 seconds to set
up. And then I could brag. Yeah, but I am not interested in possibly being able to brag because you guys know, like, for sure that if I did win, that it would be blind luck. Total blind luck.
I don't know, but it's first of all,
and we're okay with that.
You can't blame time because it literally does take just a few minutes.
You want to beat up on me a little bit.
We need some more padding at the bottom is what we need. Yeah. We need more padding at the bottom of these standings.
There you go.
The more people that I beat makes me feel better about myself. So
you guys want me to win, not because you want me to play. Or I'm sorry, you guys want me to be there, not because you necessarily enjoy, you know.
Actually, I want you to play because I would love to see like as many Project Nerd staff members in there as possible. I think it would be fun. And the more people we'd have, the more variables you'd have for each week winning and variable for box office. And I think with fewer of us, you could start to see somebody or two, you know, one or two start breaking away from the pack. If there's a lot of people in there, it could be one of those things that comes down to who's picking what in the last week, you know, how many screens did you put whatever on? So I think that's another thing too, that could be fun. So I don't know. It's
especially these down weekends where it's very strategic, like what's going to give you the most bang for your buck, not what's going to be the biggest movie for the weekend.
Strategy.
And for us, it's not so much, I mean, it's important to be smart, but it's more important to make sure that other people know that you're smarter than them. Like, that's kind of the whole point of this. That's the whole point of competition in general, let's be
true.
Honest.
True.
I know that I'm good, but I need to make sure that you know that I'm better than you.
That's Tyler's motto right there, especially on this. So, all right, so week one, next week. So we'll start really. You think it's been bad now with the trash talking. Just wait till we get into that. But one of the big things I was excited to talk about this week, the reason I keep mentioning we're recording early, is Dragon Con. So we do a number of conventions each year. We record some podcast episodes from them and all that. Dragon Con's a really exciting show because when you really break it down, it's the party show. It's the fun show. There's not a whole lot of time spent on a convention floor. We don't get a booth here. We just go check out, you know, a lot of, 60 plus thousand people, 65-ish usually, and almost all, at least
50,000. Like everybody's 000. In costume.
Yeah, at least 50,000 plus are in costume. Even this I will be in costume.
This isn't like the show that you just go, like, with a backpack. I mean, you can do that, but
I typically do that.
Costume. You'll probably be in costume, though. I mean, everybody's in costume. And if you have a backpack, it's probably not so that you can like buy things. It's so that you can fill it with beer
or other alcohol. That is very true. This is definitely the 24-hour party. I'd say 24/7, but it's more 24/5. I think it starts about Thursday evening with a pajama/underwear party, appropriately.
I feel like it's becoming like the
nerd. Never mind on that sentence.
Well,
go ahead.
I thought you were done. Go ahead.
No, I said go ahead. Do. No, I don't want to interrupt Erin when she's joining us. No, please go ahead.
It's not like I have a whole lot to say most of the time. No, It's like the nerd Mardi Gras.
Nerdy Gras. Yeah. We've heard it referenced to that for sure. So as I was saying, Thursday, of course, starts with the, you know, pajama underwear party. And then Friday, the floor opens. So there are floors. There's, you go over to the mall and you got a floor for the vendors. You go downstairs in one of the hotels, you got floors for the artists, and you go to the other hotel. It's the panels and celebrities and stuff. So it's all kind of spread out, but at the same time, it's really right there in the few blocks. And then the big hit is on Saturday morning, which is their parade. And about 90,000 people who don't go to the convention show up for this parade. And it's such a big deal that they've actually doubled the length of it to make sure they can fit enough people to visit it. But it's one of those things when you're talking about, you have 20, 30,000 people in costume marching, you know, everything from the Ecto-1 to the Batmobiles to, you know, all kinds of other vehicles and well-known groups of characters, marching bands, and complete stormtrooper outfits with Darth Vader leading the way and stuff. So it's a lot of fun stuff in this parade, you know, candy and all for the kids, like your typical parade. So that's why people line these streets like crazy for Saturday morning. And then Saturday night, their big hits the at the aquarium. So you head down to the aquarium in Atlanta, and they do, I think it's like $30 a pop at the door, and people with costume are in there, and they do costume contests, and people, of course, wear all their costumes appropriate for it and take pictures. And then it continues into Sunday and Monday, and then even technically Monday night. I mean, the show's done. Floors are closed, but the lobbies for those hotels are still open, and people are still partying until they leave Tuesday morning. So it's a fun experience, no matter what you go for, whether you go to just party the whole time, which we do know some people, and some people we were there with last year definitely did that, or you go to just have a good time overall, but also still get some coverage like we do, or it really, the cosplayers, they bring their A game to this show. That's, the costumes are amazing here. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like fun. And I'm with you. There's, you know, a good portion of my newsfeed and my friends list, everybody just talking about finishing that last costume and trying to get that last piece in and all this kind of stuff to go to Dragon Con. So should be interesting. I wonder how many people that listen to us will be going to Dragon Con. That'd be fun to know.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Seven. I'm going to guess 7.
Or more, possibly. But okay. No, give us a lot of the people that listen to us are people that we meet or run into at conventions. So there's a good chance there's going to be a number of them that go to conventions costuming. In fact, almost, I think, like 2/3 of our staff now cosplays as well. So it seems like everybody that's joined the team has cosplay pictures. Jeez, get in the
game, Tyler and Adam.
See, I'm not including that because I will be in costume this weekend. But
slowly but surely, he's doing the costumes.
I'm working on one. This right here is the start of the cosplay that I'm working on.
Is it for Halloween? Because it's only cosplay if it's not Halloween.
No, Halloween, I'm going to be doing my Sigmund Freddy Krueger, my Freddy Krueger and Sigmund Freud mashup, because that's a fun one. That will also involve the beard. But I'm going to be doing the end at some point in time from Metal Gear Solid 3.
That's going to be really, really awesome.
I thought y'all had like a whole group thing planned for that Metal Gear Solid one. Tyler, weren't you jumping in on something?
I'm thinking about one. I don't know which character. Oh, yeah.
I mean, for two people who I know for sure, like, you guys do really good costumes. I've seen your Halloween costumes. You guys put a lot of thought into it, and that's where it starts. And I hate to be someone who says that this is cosplay or this isn't cosplay, but
you really don't.
There's one rule. You stop that. I don't claim to be an expert in cosplay, but
you just made rules about cosplay last week.
No, stop no. That. You teased, it was gaming. She made rules about gamers and by calling. But, well, in that case, then the same rules apply to cosplay.
No, but the rule though about cosplay is, sure, you can dress up on Halloween and make that a big deal forever, but it's not cosplay until you do it not on Halloween.
To be fair, most of the times I've made have my Halloween costumes, I don't actually wear them on Halloween.
Haven't actually worn them on Halloween.
Yeah. I wear them to parties.
But is it for a Halloween?
Halloween is
it was for a party that happened in October. At some
Halloween is on Saturday this year, so there's a good chance.
If it's for a Halloween costume party that is not supposed to be for you guys, just
Aaron.
So are you cosplaying at Dragon Con? Because that's for cosplayers. So there's going to be a costume party there, right? Are you cosplaying at a costume party?
But that doesn't count. It's different because it's for a nerd day.
Oh, it's different.
A lot of my friends are nerds.
Halloween is the original nerd holiday, actually.
You probably not. I don't think that's
lawyered.
A nerd holiday.
Lawyered.
That's why I stopped.
No, you made the rules last week on gaming, which brings me to the fact that
gamers,
which brings me to the fact that I was called a non-gamer because I don't play enough. Although I do want to mention that I played a good 4 or 5 rounds of Mario Kart this weekend. Just putting that out there.
I didn't call you a non-gamer. I just said
down my $50 deposit on the Halo 5 Guardians 1 terabyte Xbox One edition. That looks gorgeous. The system looks incredible. I do have to say
they did that one in blue, right?
No, it's kind of got like a silver and like the blue. It is so your new Spartan that's with the Master Chief is got like kind of a blue glow with kind of like a grayish blue color on his suit, and so it is mimicking that. But there's some silver accents, and then of course the logos and everything on it. The set is $100 more than the typical 1 terabyte, but it comes with the Steelbook edition of the game, which is $100 anyway. So you're basically buying the special system. And then they also have a Master Chief controller coming out that looks awesome. And I might have to buy that separate too. I don't know.
That's awesome. So speaking of things that are awesome and speaking of games, there is another convention coming up this weekend, known as the Penny Arcade Expo or PAX.
That just passed.
It just got done with. Sorry. Yeah. It just got done with.
Well, it's normally the same weekend as DragonCon. Yeah. That's why it's thrown off. But
I don't know. Because we have our Labor Day weekend. We have our timing always messed up. So it's just now finishing up as we're speaking. But when this records, it will then have been over. But this weekend in Seattle, in partnership with the new Mad Max video game and a partnership with PAX and a partnership with Uber, you could request an Uber ride in Seattle and get picked up by like a War Boy Mad Max vehicle. So they had like some cool like jacked
were the
up
drivers cars. In cosplay.
Yes, they were.
Okay,
so let me find, here's the drivers and all of their cars.
Wow, yes, this is fantastic.
So you could go on to Uber in downtown Seattle.
Oh, this is this is old school.
That's actually so amazing.
Yeah, and request from Fury Road. Those are some vehicles from the whole franchise. Yeah.
They've got an Interceptor there. They've got an old Cadillac with like that's painted like a fighter plane with like the mouth on the front of it. They've got a big Jeep and stuff and a Volkswagen Bug. But yeah, you could, while you were in Seattle this weekend, you could put Mad Max in your request for Uber in downtown Seattle and get picked up by one of these.
So I need to use Uber when
that's
we get to
actually amazing
Atlanta for DragonCon. And I'm kind of hoping that they do something. Uber's doing that for that. Like, hopefully they do something here for DragonCon too, because I would love to get picked up by someone. Yeah.
Well, and I guess Mad Max had a big showing for the new game at
the game
at PAX, so that was part of the thing.
The game, of course, and the movie out, Fury Road, out this week, so they're out now. You can go get them. Fury Road dropping on Blu-ray for only $19.99, sub $20. Oh, it's been so tempting. But then, of course, the whole 4 movie pack for just $50 on Blu-ray. That's probably, by the time this airs, that's probably what'll be sitting on my shelf.
That's probably what's happening. Yeah, I'm with you on that one for sure. Yeah, I could probably talk the wife into that.
It won't be that hard. It's 4 movies for $50, a brand new release in there, so it's about $12.50 a pop. That's a good deal.
It's a steal, bro. It is a steal for sure.
No, you know, you don't even need to talk her into it. Just show up with it and just start Fury Road. You don't even have to, like, just start Fury Road and she'll be like, all right, I'm cool with this. No worries. We don't even need to talk about the money of it. So, yeah, but no, the game, yeah. I don't want to say it's come out of nowhere. Like, everybody knew the game was coming out, but exactly right. Like, here at PAX, they just, like, blew it up and, like, was like, oh, holy crap, this game looks really cool. Like, so, I don't know. But Adam was going crazy there, too, when you started talking about new game release as well, because he's got a big one on the slate coming next week, right?
No, tomorrow.
So, yeah. It's out. Okay.
If you're listening to this, I am playing the Phantom Pain. So whatever time you're listening to this,
he's still playing the Phantom.
Yeah, I'm playing the Phantom Pain probably because I'm ridiculously excited about that. So I was recently looking back through like my favorite Metal Gear Solid moments, like from the series, and like just doing that got me incredibly, incredibly excited about this game because Hideo Kojima is, I don't know. That guy makes games.
Unemployed?
Not currently. Well, probably. Nobody really knows. Some studio just needs to be like, hey, do you want to come make a game for us? And maybe it'll be kind of like that PT game you made while you were at Konami, but
that never got released.
Right. And we're going to go ahead and we'll get Guillermo del Toro to write for this one for you too, but it won't be the same game that you're going to do over there. It'll be something different, but yeah, let's go do that.
We'll call it Evil Dead 2.
Oh my gosh. I would love anything
like the first one.
Right. Exactly. I would like for them to make, I would love for Naughty Dog to just be like, screw it. We're going to do it big and go and just be like, hey, Hideo Kojima, come make a scary game with the staff that we have here at Naughty Dog. Cause it would be stupid good. Those are the guys that did Uncharted and The Last of Us for anybody listening that doesn't know who Naughty Dog is. Yeah. So I'm super excited about the Phantom Pain. That's where I'm at. And that's what I'm doing.
Did you see that trailer that they released for it that shows like basically like Snake walking towards the camera and has him like fairly like fading from like various characters, like different games and stuff like that? That's literally one of the, and it has like that really slow music playing in the background. That was,
yes,
that was affecting.
Well, it's got him like, he does the like the cool like army crawl that he did in the Ground Zeroes, and then he stands up and like takes his goggles off and he like is all of a sudden Snake from Metal Gear Solid 1, like the first one. You're like, oh my gosh, he's pixelated, it's amazing. I want this game so bad right now. It's I can't even talk about it. I'm gonna stop.
Adam's excited, just really really excited. Can't tell, his nipples are very hard, they're actually poking the camera right now. So a lot, yeah, it's that true time of the year where the video game stuff starts picking back up again. So a lot to be talked about there, a lot more going on. We mentioned those things, of course. What also dropped this past weekend was Disney Infinity 3.0, which I'm glad to see it get some pushback finally. A lot of people like, at this point, we don't need a whole nother $65 game. It's time to just release the expansions like you are. But I think...
but Star Wars...
Yeah, I know. And that's, people were still rushing and pieces are sold out. But I think what Disney realized and the gaming team behind it is was Activision, right? I think that 2.0 was kind of a bomb. I mean, there was nothing around it. They released too many different starter packs. People were confused. The game pieces never came out for the Disney related characters. The games that you did have for the Marvel stuff were kind of weak. So a lot of that is supposedly being wiped clean with 3.0. The Star Wars games are supposed to be a lot more robust and a lot more exciting than the Marvel's games. They're supposed to be, this is it for the starter pack. You get the Star Wars one. There's not going to be a Disney character one. There's not going to be anything else. This is the 3.0 starter pack to avoid confusion. And of course, they're expanding even on the toy box, so allowing you to create games within the toy box, play other people's games, things that you should have been doing in the toy box, first of all. So you can actually play a game with a character from the Disney universe that's welding a lightsaber and teamed up with Iron Man or something. So that'll be kind of cool, and to see a lot more build from that. But I hit up Best Buy Sunday morning, came out and checked it out, and it was kind of cool to see. There was a lot of attention around it, but characters were off the shelf already, sold out within a few hours. It was cool to see some of the new characters. The Tron characters looked great. And it was, I know they also released the expansion for, the Inside Out. So the Disney movie that just came out. So that one will probably be a big hit as well. And then Olaf finally debuted, and sure enough, Olaf can't be found in many stores anywhere across the United States.
Yeah. Shocker.
There's a lot of cool ones this time. The Star Wars ones, too, are really cool. They definitely went, even with the original trilogy characters, they went very the Clone Wars style of, like, art with them making them. But, yeah, I mean, the young Obi-Wan, Vader, Darth Maul, obviously, Luke and Leia and Han and Chewie, they're pretty cool. So,
as much as
you don't need another starter pack, it was another, like, yeah, but are you going to spend the $60 to get Star Wars figurines? You're damn right you are.
And that's why they do it. And it's one of those things. That's the video game for you, the video game world for you. Yeah, you're not going to pay $20 this year to get a Madden expansion pack. You're paying the full price for a brand new Madden game or a brand new NBA game. That's just the way it works. I agree. I hesitated on this, didn't pick it up this morning because it's like $65 right now. Just don't really need it. And of course, with the holidays coming up, these, especially the characters, typically go on good sales around that time. So, but agreed, I think, you know, I am fine with it if 3.0 is coming here and they're saying, okay, we're wiping the slate clean. 2.0 was a disaster. Here's 3.0. You're not going to see something from us next September, October, like you did this year. Like, but my fear is 4.0 is just around the corner next year, and then 5.0. And it's that thing is where, no, I want what was promised, the $35 pack with two characters and the game piece that I can put on the pad instead of having to buy a new pad, a new game, and a new thing every time, and then not being able to backwards compatible. I don't even know which pad, because I bought them for different systems from 1.0 to 2.0. So it's like, which pad won't work on this system? And it's just a big
confusion. Well, it's not like they were the first ones to do this. Like Skylanders was doing this 2 years before them, and the same thing. Every time they came with a new one, you had to buy a new pad, and then you had to like read the packaging very closely. Like, you can play Skylanders but only use Skylanders figurines, and then buy Skylanders Giants and only use Skylanders Giants figurines, and only certain ones that fit in between that work in both. And then you have to get Trap Force, and like, I mean, they were the ones who really made Disney. It was like, oh wait, we could do this, but we could use real characters from Disney, and it would be amazing. So I don't know. They'll continue to sell a lot of them. And at the same time, as much as we don't want to pay for the new pad and stuff, like, you do have to come out with a new game every so often, you know, like, just not even just because you want to update it, but logistically, like, you can't just keep adding pieces of hardware to, so, I mean, unless they want to do it all.
I agree, but you started with all that Marvel stuff, and then you released all these characters and never did anything for them on 2.0.
Oh no, that's true.
So these characters never had a home.
The figurines, like, it's not like the whole point of it's not for the, it's not really for the game. It's to get you to buy the figurines. The same thing with amiibos. You can do like all of five things with your amiibos, but people want the amiibos. They want the little figurine. And now that they're going to have like Boba Fett and General Grievous and characters from Rebels, like, people are just like, I don't know how many people are going to have every Star Wars and ever actually play any of the Star Wars games.
So that's where it almost got me, was the Star Wars pack. When I was in there, they had one of the big pack that's 115 that has the, so it has your $65 set, which is the start 3.0 starter pack with, you get, Anakin and, you get the two, the prequel trilogy characters, and you get a game that kind of ties into what the Clone Wars or the whatever. And then they have a version with, Luke and Leia, and that kind of goes in the original trilogy for $35, which isn't actually released by itself, but you can get it in this pack and then get an exclusive Boba Fett figure. So at the $115, you're at about the right price point for these exclusive figures. And I was like, looking at the Boba, because they put the Boba Fett figure in the window, so you can see that one. And it's like, all right, I'm down for this, but it was for PS3. That's the only one they had left. And I'm like, eh, I'm not going to grab it for PS3. So if it was there on the shelf for PS4, I might've walked home with it today.
Yeah, no, I mean, I won't play the game. I can tell you that right now. I might buy the figures just because, I mean, really? Come on. I won't open them, but I might buy them and set them on a shelf right next to my other in-package Boba Fetts, because that's what you need to do.
But now that they've done it with Infinity, how long is it until we get, even maybe even a different franchise, not the same franchise, but how long till we get the equivalent of a Kingdom Hearts-esque RPG that's got, you know, Star Wars characters and Disney characters and Marvel characters and all the characters all slammed into one?
Put all those characters into there.
Stop giving them ideas, Tyler. Stop it. I already can't afford this. Don't give them more ideas.
No, Kingdom Hearts, though. I'm down.
Kingdom Hearts were super cool games, so.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's either way, like I said, video game, big thing again. Relevant. Movies were kind of in that transition from big theatrical releases, which, as we've talked about many times, is actually carrying in deeper and deeper into the fall again. But now you're starting to see a lot of those summer blockbusters hit home video. So a lot of stuff for you to pick up and take home. I'll do a shameless plug here and say, if you are shopping online, please definitely check out the links on our site. Hit up Amazon through our links. Costs you nothing extra, one extra step, and it definitely helps us out so we can continue to be bringing you this, what we hope you think is awesome content. If you're listening this far in the episode, we think you do consider this to be good. So definitely help us out. But
well, and there is a kind of an announcement around that actually just hit today. Apparently, Netflix will not be renewing their contract with Epix, who is Paramount, MGM, and Lionsgate. So they're losing, well, I guess we'll be going to lose all of those movies. So they won't be on Netflix anymore. So Transformers series, which, you know, take it or leave it, people watch those movies, but they're gone. Hunger Games franchise gone, World War Z gone, like, not with Netflix anymore. And I guess, yeah, I don't know.
Lionsgate makes a lot of television too. So there's Weeds, is a series that's produced by them. So that'll be off there. You know, there's some television, and Netflix gets a lot of television watching. So you'll lose a lot more series than you probably imagined with that happening. So,
yeah, but at the same time, and Netflix is in any of their press releases is quick to mention it. The deal that they won like 2-3 years ago kicks in a few months, starting in 2016. Netflix's exclusive deal with Disney begins, which means they'll be the only place to stream Pixar, Lucasfilms, Marvel.
Yeah, that's
Disney. So
nobody's dropping Netflix then.
Yeah, so I think they'll be
subscription rate just shot up.
Yeah, as soon as 2016 hits, and that's the only place you can stream those. I mean, not to count, like, I mean, they're now, you can tell that their focus on their original stuff has gone. I mean, they just had a new one come out.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
The Narcos one with Pablo Escobar and all that kind of stuff just came out, and there's still plenty
which
of
I've,
all the Marvel ones they still have to do. So
I haven't heard a bad thing about Narcos yet. In fact, everybody that I know who has posted something about it has it basically posted something along the lines of, why aren't you watching this yet?
So instead of watching this, we're recording this instead of watching the VMAs, but for those that are aware, we're recording this as the VMAs are airing. And something just popped up on my screen, and this is important. I feel like everyone needs to know it. It will be old news by the time this airs, but Kanye West just announced at the VMAs that he will be running for president in 2020. So,
seriously?
Yeah.
Like, this is 100% serious.
I mean, it's the VMAs. Nothing there is real. But at the same time, I mean, it's Kanye. I believe it.
I'm kind of hoping he runs. I want to. You thought Donald Trump was crazy. Just wait till you put Kanye West in election.
Yeah, it's fun.
Seems exciting. Well, anything that brings up the VMAs, I was going to say I didn't even.
A buddy of mine was.
Yeah, I didn't know it's really still a thing. Yeah,
that's what I said. A buddy of mine called me today, and he was talking about how tonight he was going to watch one of his like 3 favorite award shows of the year. And I'm like, what's that? He's like, the VMAs. I'm like, I didn't realize that was still a thing. So.
Isn't it Miley Cyrus hosting?
I don't know. Apparently Nicki Minaj and Miley Cyrus also had a thing going on. There's a lot of things going on in my feed over here that are disgusting because of,
what feed are you looking at?
Just like news feed, like Twitter stuff, like things.
Yeah.
Like
what so. News do you subscribe to that? It's all VMAs.
Well, it's just Google News and my Twitter feed and stuff. But apparently the VMAs is still a thing. I remember the VMAs were a thing when I was a kid. Like, that was awesome. People climbing on the fixtures and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, but. It's surprising to me to know that it is still a thing and that people are really into it. So
I like my feed better. It's all Wes Craven stuff. People posting their favorite Wes Craven things. That's that I think that's a step up from the VMAs.
I have a lot of what do you call it? Oliver Sacks here, and there's a little bit of Wes Craven here and there. So, but yeah, Kanye West for president. Who do you want his running mate to be?
Oh, like God. He'll never make it that far. Who is that? What's her name? Taylor Swift should be his running mate. That's the one he interrupted, right?
I actually want Donald Trump to be his running mate.
This is getting interesting. Could be quite the election there. I would actually register for the primaries just to try to push Kanye West through to just see how and what would take place in the actual election, because that's when the real circus would start. So I don't know. Would be interesting for sure. All right. So in other news,
that was my one piece of news.
That was your one piece.
The Netflix things. That's all I got.
Yeah. Aaron, any news to add? Anything exciting going on for you since you've been so quiet?
I'm really excited about going to Dragon Con, but we already talked about that
briefly. But yeah, it's exciting.
Will we get to hear about it for the next couple of weeks when you're like, so this one time you guys, I went to Atlanta and Dragon Con and okay. I met.
Well, I'm really, really hoping to meet some cool people. I'm hoping to get an interview, some cool people. I mean, I know I'll get an interview of cool people regardless, but I mean, like, you know.
To be fair, we don't get the real Dragon Con stories until about 6 to 8 months later when we run into people that hung out with Iggy and Aaron at Dragon Con at a different convention. So like we didn't really find out what went on Dragon Con last year until this year at C2E2 when we were hanging out with like James and all the Cause Awesome people and got to hear like the true story of Dragon Con.
First of all, like what Iggy does at Dragon Con, like did any of it surprise you? Were you shocked by anything James and
No, not at all. Yeah, I just, it was fun to hear them. It was fun to hear someone be like in our position on the outside looking in. Like,
and even worse too, because the C2E2, I was sick. like the whole time. So everybody's like, oh, and we had such a great time. Let's go hang out here. And I'm like, miserable. And so
you were super anti-fun in Chicago.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Some pretty messed up stomach stuff going on. We still managed to get to all of our food destinations, though. I wasn't letting any kind of stomach virus stop me from that. That's for sure. Got to do what you got to do. That's for sure.
And I got that app so that next year we can pre-order our food before we go anywhere, because that's super important at C2E2, because Chicago restaurants don't mess around.
To be fair, we didn't get all of our food because we didn't actually eat at Rico Bene's. We just had frozen custard. So
that's true.
We didn't get our Italian beef sandwiches.
What did we skip for? Like, why did we not go to that one? I felt like because we did.
I don't know. Did we just not go out to eat one night or something like that? Or?
We were only there Friday night and Saturday night.
Oh, that's right, because we got there and
we didn't go early instead of Thursday.
We left Sunday night too instead of
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or did we? Yeah, we left. I don't know.
Adam and I left Sunday night. I don't know.
I don't remember. Anyways, that was a few months ago. Nobody remembers what happened. It's a good thing. We should write this stuff down, but document it on a website somewhere or something, maybe on a podcast series. Anyways, so yeah. So Dragon Con will be exciting. Iggy's bound to do something. Iggy. I don't know. But anyways, good series or good show. I'm sorry. A lot of good celebrity guests and stuff too there. So for people that want there, that last year was, I think the one line that was just the most obscene was Patrick Stewart's line that was up the stairs, out the lobby, wrapped around the entire hotel. It was insane.
And nothing but net.
And that was all day. That was even like when you're leaving at 10 or 11 to go back to change or do whatever, like that line was still there. Like, and Patrick Stewart must have been a trooper just being there for most of the day and everything too. So it's pretty crazy. I don't know. But besides Dragon Con 2, we do have, of course, Tallgrass Film Festival and Rocky Mountain Con still to come this year. And then the big one that kicks us off next year is Project Cosplay, our own event. So a lot of exciting things going on with that. Of course, if you're in or can get to the Denver area, February 19th through 21st, 2016, Project Cosplay, check it out. Going to be exciting. Most of us should be there. Hopefully all of us will be there. Adam, Tyler, Aaron. I hope you guys.
Working on that, good buddy. Working on that.
Project Cosplay, most definitely, probably.
Most definitely, probably, maybe.
Yeah. Denver's easy trip. I'm less concerned about stuff next year and more concerned about stuff towards the tail end of this year. So,
yeah,
that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at for sure.
Oh, there's a video. If you guys want to see a fun video, like this is a podcast, I can't show it, but there's this retro indie band called Gunship just released a new video for their song Tech Noir, and it's basically just a claymation mashup of things from the 80s like RoboCop, Friday the 13th, Aliens, Hellraiser, Rocky, He-Man, Care Bears, and lots of other things all claymation together. There's a little Wes Craven thrown in there doing some narration. So, I mean, that sort of makes it relevant. It's awesome. You should watch it.
How about
I'm going to make you guys watch it when we get done with this.
All right. Yeah. One thing that's going to happen right, shortly after this episode airs, midway between this episode and the next episode we'll record, of course, is I know you guys are super excited about it, but Apple has their big announcement, which does generate a lot of attention, a lot of buzz this year. Of course, the new iPhones, and it's still, this year is actually...
I haven't seen a leak. Yeah. Normally, by now, we already know what's happening.
And there's the big question, is it going to be the 6S or is it going to be the 7? And a lot of what the biggest thing is, though, is the camera is supposed to go incredibly far away. You're finally supposed to get the touch-sensitive screen that's going to, like, so you can push harder to do certain things or lighter, then the processor, of course, update, which is supposed to give you another like 20 to 30% on battery life. So a lot of improvements that are supposed to be significant, especially that camera is the biggest one. The front facing 1080p 24 frames per second camera will be awesome. And then also on the rear camera, it's supposed to rival many DSLRs in the $400 to $500 range. So that's saying a lot. So we'll see what happens there. The other big announcement that's supposed to come out September 9th, not the phones, but the new Apple TV, which is going to be double the price, they say. And that's because there's been a lot of rumors there.
Curious about the Apple TV, because when it comes to streaming devices, like there are certain things the Apple TV does that nothing else does. basically that are Apple related. Like you can screen mirror iOS devices and OS X devices. You have access to your iTunes library. But other than that, like they're an okay version of a ton of other streaming devices on the market that are half as the cost of the Apple TV. And now they're bumping it up again. So I don't know, the Apple TV's only just recently became 1080p. And you really, it's iTunes, YouTube, and Netflix and Hulu, I think, are the only things you can really do on it without the streaming stuff. So, I mean, if it goes up to $200 or $150 to $200, I mean, it's then like five times the cost of like a Chromecast, you know? I just don't know. Now, there's a lot of other rumors floating around about that, like possibly they're talking about releasing a internet TV service to the Apple TV to be it like their version of a Netflix-esque sort of thing. So but, I think to get on board with like the Apple Music, so
you'll still be paying for a lot of that stuff. Yeah. The thing is when I, especially when you're talking price increase, that you still, about 2 years now, it's been the rumor of when is the literal Apple TV going to be announced. So like the TV with this kind of device built into it. And it doesn't seem to be the direction they're going, even though the rumors keep trickling out on that.
I don't know. I don't think that that's a good idea. Like smart TVs in general are a dime a dozen now. And no matter what you do, unless you build an entire computer in there, you might as well just buy a computer with a big screen. I don't know. I mean, it's been tried before. Like Sony partnered with Google and they made those Google TVs for a while and they were super cool, but they didn't take it off at all. No one bought them. I think it's a good call on their part. Like stick to devices that hook to the TV. Don't try and, you know.
Well, I think, we're all Best Buy alum here for the most part. Aaron's not, but the other three of us are, and even Bob. And we were all, I think all of us were still on the floor at the time of those Google TVs like came out. And yeah, they were incredibly fun to demo and show off and have on the floor. But like you said, you didn't sell any of them. Nobody bought them. And especially nobody bought the box that was available for it, like that you could buy separate because it was, you know. But I don't know. I agree. It may not be a wise decision, but I also don't think doubling the price, no matter.
Well, I just don't. I mean, to be fair, Apple's bread and butter is the Apple purist that needs to have the Apple things. Like, it needs to have the Apple logo on it. I need people to know that it's an Apple thing. But I just can't see, unless there's something really big about the new Apple TV that they're doing, I just can't see it surviving at $150, $200 when you can buy a Chromecast for $30, a Fire Stick for $30, a Roku for $40, $50. Like,
yeah,
other devices out there that do the same thing as the Apple TV does, and most of them do it better. You just can't stream
it. Well, yeah, they're all on their fifth or sixth version as opposed to just putting out their first. Like, I mean, I guess the Apple TV's been around for a while, so it's not really their first, but they've never really
become... It's their second, because they upgraded to the HDMI only with 1080p.
Right, but they've never really gone after that market. Yeah. Like, it's just like, oh, you could have this Apple TV, which will connect all your Apple devices to your television, and it will do this other stuff.
Yeah. No, we'll see what they announce it. I'm sure we'll be able to talk about it. Make sure we...
I guess my biggest thing is that $200, you've now reached the point where why don't you just buy us one of the new mini computers to hook to your TV? Because now that's the new thing, like NVIDIA, like obviously the Steam boxes are coming. There's a bunch of now, like that's the new thing, mini little PCUs that have a good graphics card, have a decent amount of RAM. Like who else is, Asus has got one. There's like four or five, Alienware's got one. That's the size of like a Blu-ray player. That's a fully functional, you know, Windows PC. Like I don't understand, or a Mac Mini, like just go buy a Mac Mini.
That's what I mean. They're getting back into the Mac Mini. That's the best invention they had, I think. It's like, hey, here's this. And actual really computer to hook up to your television. Right.
And they really stepped away from it.
They went away from it. Right.
Yeah. The Mac Mini was like one of the coolest things they made. Like, hey, it fits on my media shelf right next to my Blu-ray player. I get a wireless keyboard and mouse. And now I've got a Mac as well as a TV, you know? So
real quick, before we wrap things up, of course, Mortal Kombat 10 canceled for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. So you've got to have a next gen. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Got to have the newest.
You got to have the current gen, right?
Yep. So I think it's a sign of things to come. You've had the Xbox One and PS4 out for enough. You're going to start seeing those deals this holiday season. I think this is about the time where you start seeing more deals on those systems and games coming out, packages, bundles and stuff. I think this is where we start to see the companies are going to finally start phasing out 360 and PS3. And to be honest, I'm surprised it's taken this long.
Well, if you look back to Xbox 360 and PS2, PS3. There was, I mean, you were still getting PS2 games 3 or 4 years into the PS3.
Like, they only stopped.
There was a really long adoption rate.
They only stopped manufacturing PS2s within the last 2 years.
Well, Sony held on to that for a lot longer than Microsoft did, that's for sure. But Sony, like, proudly said, we are going to continue. Like, the PlayStation 2 is successful. People love it. We're going to continue to put stuff out.
Well, and there's a huge market for it. Because 10 years into a video system's lifespan, number one, the cost of producing them has plummeted. Like, the technology's caught up. You can make a PS2 for fraction of what you were making them when they released, and people want them because they're like, oh, there's this library of 2,000 games that I can buy for $5 to $10 a pop, and I can buy the system for $100, $150. Like, there's a market for it, and people are like, well, it used to cost this much. I'm like, yeah, but now it costs them literally this much to make them. Like, there's money to be made there, and when your main product is your new generation console, probably without fail, unless your name's Nintendo, loses you money. There's something to be said for being able to push a bargain version of a gaming console. So,
and still not impact your new system either. Like, they still did great with the PlayStation 3. And I think there's still Sony seeing that type of success still here. I think Microsoft is the one, and I've loved the Xbox system, so don't get me wrong, but Microsoft is definitely the one of the two companies that has to kind of to shut that door in order to get people to move forward. And you're seeing that with the legacy collections of these games, you know, the backwards compatibility announcements that they're like, we need to get these Xbox Ones into people's houses. So, all right. So we're about out of time here. Fun episode, video game filled episode, right up Adam's alley is there. Aaron, I think this qualifies me as a gamer, but anyways, we won't get into that.
Oh, right.
So since we haven't heard from Aaron much, I will let her start with our round of closing remarks.
I suck at this. Don't make me do this first. You always make me do this first.
And you never do it first,
maybe
though.
Maybe you should talk more.
Please fail. Okay, don't put so much pressure on me. Give me like 10 full seconds to think of something.
Okay.
I'll get back
to you. Let's move to Adam, and then we'll come back to Aaron.
I mean, closing thoughts are pretty easy.
Clothing off. I wonder where Adam's mind is right now.
Right. Speaking is hard, but what I want to say was, it came to me pretty quickly, you know, obviously tough week this week with Wes Craven. So when I'm not playing Phantom Pain, I probably will be watching Nightmare on Elm Street and its sequels, and stuff like that. So, you know, think about those things that have really impacted you and that will impact you when they're gone. Cause I guess, you know, I wasn't quite ready for it. So, you know, look around and find that stuff in your life, guys.
Yeah. And it's amazing how a lot of people will sit here, you know, there'll be those people that'll say, like, why are people so caught up on this celebrity or this person they never knew or anything? But it's like, when you really look at it, especially I'll go back to last year, or, you know, this past weekend was Michael Jackson's birthday, and Michael Jackson passed away. I remember spending that entire day just sitting there watching the documentaries and music videos and stuff. And I'm saying that's the music I grew up with. That was the musician that I loved the most. And the same with Robin Williams. And it's, these people do make a lasting impression on you and can impact your life. And entertainment, whether you want to admit it or not, is a massive, massive part of our life. So great thoughts, Adam. Aaron, are you ready this time?
Nah.
Tyler. All right, Tyler, go ahead.
If you're fascinated with the coolness and awesomeness that is the weirdness of the human brain, or just like cool, fun essays and interesting stories and case studies, go pick up an Oliver Sacks book. I highly recommend The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat, or Anthropologist on Mars. And they're super fascinating and fun. And he wrote some really cool stuff, and everyone should go out and read some of it.
All right. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and read some of that stuff. By the way, I just finished reading Terry Pratchett's Dodger.
How'd you like it?
It was amazing.
Are you ready for some Discworld yet?
Yeah.
No, not
yet. Instead of doing normal, okay, here's what I'm saying. I'm going to give you, you should read Good Omens.
I think that's what I'm reading next.
Yeah, that's him and Neil Gaiman together in one book about the end of the world.
That sounds incredible.
It is incredible. And I'll tell you what we can get you into, because Shepherd's Crown's coming out in 2 days. We can get you into the Tiffany Aching novels, which are the Discworld books, but they're like the young adult ones, and you don't have to get in, like, wade into the 40 some books that are the normal Discworld novels. It'll be fun. We'll get into that. And Adam is on to the next book in the Dune series. Yes.
Dune Messiah. Oh yeah. Reading it.
I like it.
I didn't bring it up during the episode because I don't want Iggy to freak out about whatever, us talking about Dune anymore.
I even named the last episode Dune because we didn't talk about
the spice must flow, like, Iggy.
I had to cut a big chunk of it out even, so.
Well, that is too bad. That is just too bad.
The spice must flow.
Get it in the unedited series when we release these on Blu-ray.
I'm excited that all of us read books now.
So anyways, my closing thoughts, of course, with Dragon Con coming up. In a recent study done by scientists in New Zealand. Yes, there are scientists in New Zealand, for those who are wondering. There is only actual one cure for a hangover. All those other things that are supposedly cures aren't legit. So all the other things, chugging water afterwards, doing different things. The only cure for the hangover is to drink less, is what their study showed. So if you're going to Dragon Con, you're going to be partying hard. Keep that in mind. However, one thing that can help combat it, of course, is hydration, and definitely should hydrate at any convention, whether you're drinking or not. So definitely keep, if you are partying, double fist it, put a glass of water in that other hand. Otherwise, listen to those New Zealand scientists. They know what they're talking about. So
for those of you who are listening to this at Dragon Con or on your way to Dragon Con, Adam and I will pay good money for drunken candids of Aaron and Iggy. Yes.
And yeah, I agree. You know, it'll only be us two from Project Nerd. We do have some hired help there too as well. But
how about I just text you my own pictures?
I'm cool with that too. But
you want it? I'm doing it. You have just opened the floodgates. I'm going to be sending all my pictures.
Whether Aaron wants it or not, we'll be hanging out a lot this weekend, of course, along with the Cause Awesome folks and the men.
I really wish you would have said that you reaped the whirlwind, Tyler.
So with that, we are signing out till after Dragon Con, or maybe at Dragon Con. I don't know. We'll see how coherent we are to get some footage and to do an episode from that. I don't know. But I guess until what? I almost botched the ending there, Adam. Till next time, same nerd time, same nerd channel. We'll catch you next week.
Hope you find your dad.
I was waiting to see what somebody would say.